Well, we spend a little time talking, right off the boot, on the topic of dyslexia. What is it? What are the implications? How is it managed? And, well, a seminar to be included. We bring in the experts, licensed and certified Davis Dyslexia Correction Provider. That's a mouthful. I'm glad you are here to talk about what you know, Sandra McFall. Hi, Sandra.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We've been talking about this topic of dyslexia for a while, and now, finally, we've got a seminar to brag about. So I'm glad you're here. There are many titles behind your name, Sandra. I want to get to that. But first of all, remind me, what is dyslexia?
Well, let me start out with my history with dyslexia. I am an adult corrected dyslexic. I was one of those kids who had a very difficult time in school. I remember in college having to read a sentence over four times. Every time I would read that sentence, a new word would pop into that page that I hadn't seen before. Consequently, it took me four times longer to study than the other students. However, I have two undergraduate degrees. I have worked at a Fortune 500 corporation, and I am a successful entrepreneur. But I don't think that others need to suffer as I did, so I decided to bring the program to West Michigan.
That's great. We're going to talk on the program. How were you diagnosed? In other words, were you the kid that went through the either yourself saying what's wrong with me or your teachers saying what's wrong with her or your students, your classmates bullying you because you couldn't get it? What are your memories?
For years, the teachers really didn't know what it was that I had. There really is no specific test for dyslexia. Dyslexia is a list of characteristics. About 12 years ago, I read the book, The Gift of Dyslexia, and I realized that I was reading about myself.
And it's the book that we have here for reference, The Gift of Dyslexia. So here we've turned it around positively.
Mm-hmm, correct. The book was written by Ron Davis. He himself is a corrected dyslexic. He is also on the autistic spectrum, and he wrote the book in 1995, and he started teaching others, facilitators like myself, how to deliver the program that he created. And so I am licensed by the Davis Dyslexia Association International to, you know, provide this program to others to help them.
Let's talk on a couple of specifics which you can talk of personally, plus your professional involvement. How early can dyslexia today be, how early can we see the signs and symptoms? What are a couple of them?
Well, generally about the ages of 5 to 7, students will have the tendency to flip, transpose numerals and letters and that type of a thing. But around the ages of 5 to 7, they should transition over to being able to read those two-dimensional letters on the page. And so once they can do that, that some of that flipping should correct itself. But the other definition of dyslexia includes the inability to comprehend phonics. So when a student is in first and second grade, of course, what their primary lesson is, you know, all about phonics and phonics training, that type of a thing. And if that student finds that that's very difficult and they have a very difficult time decoding the phonics, you know, red flags start going up and these students start falling behind in their reading, sometimes, you know, several grade levels before they finally find me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, of course, I'm sure early intervention is necessary. And then on the other spectrum, is dyslexia controlled or cured?
Well, we correct dyslexia.
Yes.
Let me talk about what really dyslexia is. Mm-hmm. Many people think that dyslexia is transposing, you know, the letters or numerals, which it is, but it's also much more than that. Medical science describes dyslexia as being a neurological system disorder or a malfunction, or maybe that the two sides of the brain just aren't talking to each other. Well, we understand dyslexia to be much different from that. We understand dyslexia to be a result of being a right brain picture thinker. And because of being a right brain picture thinker, this individual has certain characteristics that lead them into being potentially dyslexic. There's, like I mentioned earlier, 37 characteristics that the dyslexia could possibly have. I'd like to focus this morning on two of those characteristics. being a right brain picture thinker, this individual needs to have a picture for every word that is said and every word that is read. Okay? Now, for example, if I say the word books to you, what's the first thing that pops into your mind?
I see a stack of books, and I feel the opening, and I read my chapter.
Good. If I say the word apple, what pops into your head?
A red apple.
Okay, great. And if I say the word pencil, what pops into your head?
I picture the pencil with a nice sharpened end on it.
With the rubber head.
The rubber head. How am I doing?
Okay, good.
Am I doing okay?
Good. Now, if I say the word the, what's the first thing that pops into your mind?
I see T-H-E.
Okay. How about the word what do you see?
U-H.
Okay. A little phonics in there, right? Okay.
Is that what I'm doing? I don't know. I wasn't prepared for an exam. Now I've got test anxiety going on.
Okay. Well, all those small sight words, the, of, it, and, or, by, be, those are all abstract sight words. Now, if this individual is a right brain picture thinker, and if they're supposed to have a picture for every word that is said or every word that is read, what's the picture for the word the? There isn't any.
There isn't any.
Right. So if the student is reading the sentence, the brown horse went to the stone fence, what's your picture for the word the?
I move right over it. I just go to the brown horse.
Right, right. And that's what the right brain picture thinkers will do. They'll be able to see a brown horse in a stone fence, but they can't see anything else. So the teacher asks, what did you read? Well, these students are generally very creative. They usually have a high IQ, they're very intelligent, and they certainly don't want to be perceived as being stupid. So what these students will do is they'll basically say, well, my brother and I went horseback riding, and we came across a stone fence. Okay? All right. Now, when I was asking you those questions earlier, and I was asking you to do some picture thinking, and then I switched it over to abstract word thinking, a couple things happened to you. First of all, you became a little confused, and then you became a little disoriented, right?
I did?
Yes. Okay. Disorientation is another main characteristic of being dyslexic, okay? Let me give you a couple examples of what that might feel like, okay? Have you ever had a very busy day and you go driving
every day.
Home,
oh, go ahead.
And you're driving home. And you come up to a stoplight, and you just kind of have the blinders on, and a car pulls up next to you. And all of a sudden, you get the feeling that you're rolling backwards. You slam your foot on the brake. You kind of wake up. You look around, and you go, oh, my gosh, I wasn't going backwards. The car next to me was going forward, right? That was a little disorientation. Or maybe has it ever happened to you that you're reading an article or a newspaper, and you come across the word vacation? Your mind's eye goes out to Lake Michigan. Your eyes finish down through the rest of the page. You get to the bottom of the page. You say, oh, I don't know what it is that I just read because my mind's eye was out on Lake Michigan, right? Or maybe you're talking directly to somebody. You're looking in their eyes, right?
And you I have no interest in what you're saying, right?
Well, you start thinking to yourself, what am I going to have for dinner? And your mind's eye goes to the pantry. And all of a sudden, you're just like, oh, wait a minute, I should be listening to this person, right? Those are all three forms of what dyslexia or disorientation can feel like. And when you're disoriented, your eyes don't see what's going on around you, and your ears don't hear what's going on around you. So when a student, you know, sees a word or hears a word that doesn't have the picture meaning, they become confused by the word. Then that leads to disorientation. Okay.
I'm just interjecting. What's the difference between dyslexia and I know the answer, but I'm getting some ADD stuff going on in here too.
Right. Yeah. Right. The ADD ADD is more of a behavioral issue. Okay. The list of the characteristics for ADD is exactly the same as the list for dyslexia, with the exception of one thing: can't sit still. Okay, but now if you look at ADD, okay, you begin to ask yourself, well, is the reason why my child having difficulties sitting in the classroom or not behaving, is the reason for that because they cannot read? And that's maybe what we call their old solutions, where they'll try to find ways, avoidance tactics, to not do the work or not have to read in front of others, maybe go sharpen their pencil 15 times to avoid having to read, or maybe being the class clown or something. Because as I said, these individuals are very intelligent people, okay? Well, let me go back to that disorientation that I was talking about a little earlier. Okay? Now, when a student is reading and they're trying to read those two-dimensional letters on the page, disorientation kicks in because they really can't discern sometimes, you know, whether or not these letters are going one way or the other. And so what happens is some of these words and letters can disappear. They can move. They can wiggle. I've had it where a letter has gotten up and walked off the page towards me. I've caught it. Okay? Sometimes when you're reading to the student, you'll point out the word the, and two sentences later, they'll look at the word as if they've never seen it before. And that happens because these three letters are taking on different characters. Sometimes, they'll do what we call shotgunning, where they'll see the first two letters or the first letter and last letter of the word, and then they'll guess at what's in between. So say they'll look at the words, like a TH, and they'll guess if it's that, there, them, whatever, mom, doesn't matter, because they're all the same. They mean all the same anyway, right? Or maybe that student can study for a spelling test, and 2 weeks later they can't spell the word if their life depended on it. I had another girl that was 17 years old, and she said that letters went from black to gray to white. Basically, they were just disappearing. I had another boy. He was doing, at the assessment, he was doing some reading for me. And as he was reading the paragraph, the entire paragraph was all brand new. There was nothing that he was reading that was on that page. And I asked him, I said, what's going on here? And he pointed to an area that was blank. And he said, all the letters are hovering in this space up here. You know, and I had another boy who, when he would read a word that had punctuation marks in it, such as the word don't, he couldn't see the word don't, and he couldn't see the other word following that. So we have all sorts of different forms of disorientations happening for each of these students. But it's not a result of vision. Okay. It's a result of their perception and the fact that they're confused by the two-dimensional letters on the page.
So it's your job, with just about 3 or 4 minutes left, because I want to talk about our seminar, Sandra. It's your job to assist, as you are president of the Dyslexia Correction Foundation, and how you spend your day as a dyslexia correction provider.
Facilitator, yes. What I do is I provide a one-week correction program, and during that program, the students will learn the tools that will enable them to see those two-dimensional letters on the page, and we will be able to correct that perception so that those letters stop flipping, jumping, and moving. Generally, what happens is the students gain 3 to 4 grade levels in reading during that one-week program. Okay, and I can run down a list of the different successes that these students have had over the week.
Just give me one, and then I want to get into the seminar.
Okay. For instance, I had a 11-year-old boy who was in the 6th grade, and he came in beginning of the week reading his 3rd grade reading level, and he left at the end of the week reading at a 7th grade reading level. Okay.
Well, that's why you're here. That's right. Why you are doing what you do. Let's talk. There is a seminar next week, and who is it targeted for lack of better terms, and what's all about it?
Yes, the seminar is next week, Tuesday, 6:30 at the Granville Middle School. It is open for parents for them to come and kind of kick the tires to learn a little bit more about dyslexia. We'll learn about the characteristics of dyslexia, why it exists, and how it can be corrected. And that is free and open to the public, and that is, as I said, at Granville Middle School. You can go online to newchapterlearning.net, and you can register for the seminar there. You can also take an online test for dyslexia. That's on my website, too. That's on the homepage of my website. And at the conclusion of that test, it will tell you whether or not your child is mildly, moderately, or severely dyslexic. Okay?
More information is on your website. What is the detail here?
Newchapterlearning.net.
And remind me of the name of the book that you're using as a reference. May help others.
It's The Gift of Dyslexia by Ronald Davis.
Good things are happening in your life, aren't they?
Wonderful.
Yes. Senator McFaul, thanks for this extensive education in dyslexia, as you are a dyslexia correction provider, licensed and certified, and, of course, president of Dyslexia Correction Foundation. Have fun next week, and thanks for your education.
Thanks for having me.